Hello, saints. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here in Monarch once again. I came here to Monarch with a burden upon my heart. The sister, first of all, I need your prayers. I want to say that. I need and desire your prayers very much. A sister's testimony here this morning saying that the greatest miracle is the healing of a sin-sick soul. I believe that also. I believe that's the greatest. And Jesus said greater things. Those that will follow him will do greater things than he was able to do. Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like to talk to you this morning about healing. We had a man in our congregation some years ago. He wasn't saved, but he was faithful to come to church. He would bring his wife to church. And he had gone to the altar during one of our meetings for prayer. I'd gone up to see what it was. He said his back was giving him trouble and he wanted prayer. And I told him, I said, all the ministers are busy working at the altar right now. Just give us a few minutes, and when they're free, then we'll pray for you. And when the ministers got through, they come up and they converged on him. And one of the ministers asked him, said, Bobby, have you given your heart to the Lord? Are you saved? And he said, no, I haven't done that. That's something I still need to do. So another minister said, would you like to do that now? He said, yes, yes, I would. So they got down on their knees and he prayed a very simple but beautiful prayer of honesty. Lord, forgive me and save my soul and come into my heart. And when he got up from that altar, he turned and he addressed the congregation. He says, the Lord has accepted me. Now, that's a little different than we hear in the world today. The worldly churches, they say, have you accepted the Lord? But let me say something to you. If you've accepted the Lord, doesn't mean that necessarily that he's accepted you. To say the Lord has accepted me knows that there has been a witness take place in his heart and soul that God has done a work within him. And he began to walk back to a seat, and I said, Brother Bobby, what about your back? He said, oh, Brother Rich, my back is fine. God not only saved his soul, not only healed his sin-sick soul, but he healed his body too. That's what I'd like to talk to us today about. About healing oftentimes starts at forgiveness. Can I say that? Healing often starts at forgiveness. How this message came to me, how I began to meditate and think on this, is I was at a gathering with some saints, and one of the individuals there, we were talking about different things, and they said that the congregation that they attended, that congregation needs healing. And then they said, and I need healing. I began to think about it, meditate on it, and look to the Lord. What kind of healing does a congregation need? Surely it must not be physical. It must be emotional, spiritual. A congregation that needs healing, and the individual said, and I need healing. So as I begin to look and talk to the Lord, and look to his word, turn with me please to James. James, the 5th chapter. And the 16th verse. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye might be healed. Healing here in this scripture starts at forgiveness, doesn't it? Confess your faults one to another that ye might be healed. Now, I'm not saying that every healing starts here, but many times this is where healing starts. with Brother Bobby Hightower coming to the altar for healing for his back, and he ended up getting healing for his soul. And God went ahead and went all the way to his back. It started at forgiveness. Dear ones, many times healing starts at forgiveness. Then the second part of this scripture says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are we them kind? Is that the kind of man that you and I are? Can we pray the effectual fervent prayer because we're righteous? This wasn't put in the Word of God by accident. It's telling us, if we want healing, what it's going to take. Confess your faults one to another. And then it goes on, the effectual fervent prayer. The word effectual means, what does it mean? It means to be effective. It means it's going to do what I'm asking it to do. It's going to touch the throne. God is going to be touched by this prayer. It's an effective prayer. Well, that's the next word. Fervent. The word fervent. My dictionary says intense, ardent, which means passionate. It means to be on fire. To pray an effectual, an effective prayer. A prayer of fire. Fire from where? Fire from in the heart. And you couple that with righteousness. And now you've got a prayer that will avail. Now I'm going to tell you a story because this goes along with it. Many of you have heard this story. Bear with me. My youngest son was just 5 years old. He got a sickness that caused him to bleed. And he was dying before our eyes. We had him anointed and prayed for, and he grew steadily worse. It was so bad that he had a pan in front of his face at all times where the blood would run from his nose and his mouth. I don't know where all that blood came from. And I looked at my son, and the look that he gave me, it was, "Daddy, help me. You're my daddy. And it's your job to protect me. It's your job to see that I'm safe." He quit playing. He quit eating. All he did was bleed. I called our pastor. And looking in his eyes, I saw one more element that tore my heart. See, he got to a point where he knew he was in serious condition. And there was fear in his eyes. And here I was, his daddy, and could not do anything. I was helpless. We heard about a man getting to a place to be desperate, dear ones. I was in a desperate place. I knew that I was going to lose this child. I called our pastor. And I said, if God doesn't intervene, we're going to lose this child. And they said, I know. Dear ones, that isn't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that, oh, Brother Rich, it's going to be okay. God has heard and answered prayer. Your child, he's going to raise him up. But that isn't what I heard. I heard, I know. This child's going to die if God doesn't intervene. Now my heart dropped. What could I do? But the next thing they said is what I really needed to hear. They said, Brother Rich, nobody has power with God concerning children like the parents. And the minute they said that, I knew what the problem was. I hung up the phone and my wife said, what did they say? I said, nobody has power with God concerning children like the parents. And I called her to me and I said, I'm sorry. I said, it's my fault. I haven't been the father that I should have been. I haven't been the husband that I should have been. And this is my fault. And I begged her to forgive me. And she told me no. She said, it's not your fault. She said, it's my fault. I haven't been the mother that I should have been. I haven't been the wife that I should have been. It's my fault. And I'm sorry. And we fell on each other's neck and we wept and we wept. And we begged each other for forgiveness. And then we fell on our knees and we asked God to forgive us. And when I had a witness in my soul that God had heard and forgiven, I had an inspiration to pray for our little boy. And we prayed. And I got another inspiration that God witnessed to me that he was healed. He was healed. I was a desperate man. My wife was a desperate woman. We were praying a prayer. Oh, it was effectual and it was fervent. All the prayers we had been praying at this point. But there was an element that was missing, dear ones. It was forgiveness. Forgiveness was not in the equation. Righteousness was not there until we got on our knees and we begged God to forgive us. And I had a witness that God had healed my little boy. So I went to see him. And when I looked upon him, the blood had dried up. There was no more fear in his eyes. And he said, I'm hungry. It was over. We had to meet the condition, dear ones. It started at forgiveness. So now I ask you, is there anybody here that needs healing? Does your family need healing? Does your congregation need healing? I know your city or your town needs healing. I know your state needs healing. I know this country needs healing. But it first must start at the household of God. Dear ones, many of these healings must start at forgiveness. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. First John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Healing starts many times at forgiveness. Lord, help us. I had to go and get right with God first. And then I was able to pray that effectual, fervent, and righteous prayer because my sins had been forgiven. I stood before God right. I could pray that righteous prayer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a mighty God we serve. Dear ones, there's victory in Jesus. There's healing in his blood. We're talking about healing, dear ones. There's many different kinds of healings. There's healings of the body, the physical healing. But dear ones, there's healing of the mind. There's healing of the heart. And of course, there's healing of the soul. And how many times we must pray for healing of the emotions, Lord, help us. And I'm sure that you could probably add to that different kinds of healings. But dear ones, there's healing in the blood of Christ. Oftentimes it starts at forgiveness. Young man I was talking to about this very subject not too long ago told me that his pastor told him, now I'm going to be blunt here, forgive me, but he said that his pastor told him that there's going to be saints not make heaven because they're not willing to forgive. This forgiveness goes more than just one way. It's not just God forgiving us. It's us being willing to forgive others. Colossians, the third chapter and the 13th verse. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I don't need to explain that scripture, do I? Dear ones, you holding somebody? You holding something in your heart or in your mind that someone has hurt you or offended you? Oh yes, it happens. I've been hurt, I've been offended, and I've also hurt, and I've also offended. Dear ones, it's time to get over it. Can I say that? It's time to get over it because healing starts at forgiveness. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. He didn't say go to him and tell him about it. It just said forgive. Dear ones, we need healing. We need healing to take place. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6, and I want to begin at the 9th verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I've never been to heaven, dear ones. But I've seen the divine nature of my Savior. I've seen Him forgive places that it would seem hard for a man to be able to forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we look upon some of these different things that have happened in our lives, these offenses, these hurts, these wounds, these scars, and say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But more than that, God, help me to forgive them also. Healing, dear ones, can start at forgiveness. How is it in heaven and how is it to be on earth? Dear ones, I don't think there's any grudges being held in heaven. You think one angel bumps into another and ruffles his feathers and he's going to hold it against him? Lord, help us. Really, when you think about it, how silly is it? And who really does it hurt? In the long run, who really does it hurt? I'm going to tell you another story. This happened just a few months ago. Very fresh in my mind because this was an extended family. Someone that my daughter had married into a family. And this is a true story. Two brothers. Hadn't spoke together in over 25 years. If there was a family get together, one was going to be there, the other one made sure they weren't. 25 years, no communication. And happened amongst siblings. That must have been a terrible hurt. But whatever it was, there's victory in Jesus. And it starts at forgiveness. Well, they had a family get together. few months ago. And apparently the memo didn't get out because both brothers showed up. And you know what the family was thinking? Oh no. Now let's talk about this just for a minute. 25 years. Unable to get along. Don't talk. Don't see one another. Avoid it every opportunity. Didn't that affect their families too? Their wives didn't grow to be best friends. They didn't get to go shopping together, have lunch together as sister-in-laws do. Their children didn't grow up as cousins become close and they grow up and play with one another. That thing robbed that family. Dear ones, that's what unforgiveness will do. It'll rob us. It'll rob our families. It'll rob our children. Can I say that's selfishness? It really it is, isn't it? It's selfish. I'm going to hold this thing. He hurt me. She hurt me. I'm going to hold it. And who does it hurt? A lot of times the person that was the offender doesn't even know anything about it. Lord, help us. Well, these two brothers showed up that day on the same day in the same location. The family was on pins and needles. And they saw each other across the room or the area they were in. And they started for one another. I could just think what their wives were saying. Oh my. Are they going to go to blows? Is this going to hurt the family even more than it already has? Well, they walked until they come together eye to eye. And they threw their arms around each other. And they said, this has gone on too long. It's over with. It's done. Family kind of set out a roar of happiness. I'm sure tears were flowing. What took place, dear ones? A healing took place. And where did it start? It started at forgiveness. 25 years erased in a moment of time. Why didn't they do it 99% time ago? I don't know what words to use here. All that time, the hurt, the anguish, the loss. Dear ones, when we hold on to things, it's not just us we hurt. We hurt our children. We hurt our loved ones, our families. We hurt our congregations. So my question this morning, do you need healing? Do you need healing? Does your family need healing? Does your congregation need healing? Maybe it needs to start at forgiveness. Amen. He went on and verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to forgive it. Yeah. Haven't paid it back, but I'm going to forgive it just the same. Because I'm a desperate man and I want God to forgive me. And I'm willing to pay any price. Any price, it matters not. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the 14th verse. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Pretty plain, isn't it? This is Jesus. Mine's written in red. If ye forgive men their trespasses, if you'll put these hurts aside, These offenses, put them behind you and forgive them. And endeavor, ask God to remove them from your mind that you won't even have a remembrance of them. You know, God can do that. Dear ones, there's victory in Jesus. Praise God. The 18th chapter of Matthew. And the 21st and 22nd verse. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times. Now this word seven, I've been taught in the Bible, is a complete number. There's no ending to it. The word seven, it's symbolic. It means it goes on and on and on. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times a day. Dear ones, there's no end to it. We must forgive. We must forgive. Healing will start at forgiveness. Lord, help us. In the 35th verse, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not. Dear ones, it doesn't come from the mind because I know I need to do it, so I'm going to go and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Or I know that I need to forgive you, so I'm going to do it. But dear ones, is it coming from the heart? Do you really mean it? Dear ones, there's victory in Jesus and He can bring it from the heart. All you've got to do is ask Him, Lord, this thing has hurt me deeply and I need healing. Mark the 11th chapter. You have to forgive me. My children tell me I'm a big crybaby. That's good because I didn't used to be that way. But God has softened my heart. Have I told you that Jesus saved my soul? He saved my soul. He forgave me. And He's asking me to forgive others just the way He forgave me. Lord, help us. You know, back home, I asked the congregation one day, got up to preach and teach. I don't remember what it was. And I said, if I told you that I knew God's will for you, would you believe me? And there was a whole lot of no's and a whole lot of head shaking. Oh no. But I went on and got the scriptures that said this is what God requires of us. Not just me, of you too. Dear ones, God is requiring of us to forgive and be forgiven. That's God's will concerning me and concerning you. How do I know it? Because the Bible says it. Christ my Savior said it. All right. Mark the 11th chapter and the 25th and 26th verses. And when ye stand praying, forgive. You got a petition before God. What's Jesus saying? Where does it start? It starts at forgiveness. Lord, help us. Be willing to forgive. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. He'll hear your prayer. Yes. Isn't that what it's saying to us? Yeah. You're standing praying, you want to be heard. Start at forgiveness. Oh, praise God. There's victory in Jesus. Oh, and I'm so thankful that there is. Let's go to Luke. Luke, the 23rd chapter, in the 34th verse. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Have any of us suffered under blood? Has anybody hurt us bad enough that we're dying? This is where Christ is at. And yet, what does he ask for? He asks for forgiveness. When they stoned Stephen, what was the last thing Stephen said? Lay not this sin unto their charge. He also knew they didn't know what they were doing. Many times hurt and offenses come because people don't really know what they're doing. Lord, help us. Dear ones, there's our example. This is what our Lord is requiring of us. To be willing to forgive. Healing often starts at forgiveness. Lord, help us. I want to read a little bit about Christ. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Start the fifth chapter. Dear ones, this is a prophecy that was given to Isaiah about our Lord and Savior. I'm told this was 700 years before it happened. 700 years. And yet I find it lines up. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Lord help us. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. You know, we like to use that. With the physical healing, we say, by his stripes we're healed. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you, the healing of a sin-sick soul. This applies to the healing of a sin-sick soul. By his stripes, salvation came to you and I. Forgiveness came because of the blood that was shed from them very stripes. And there's healing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Dear ones, when I came to the Lord for salvation, I could barely carry my own load. It was heavy upon me. It was too much for me to bear. And that's why I came. Lord, I've got to have relief. I need salvation. Lord, you've got to relieve this load from off my back. And he did that. But here it says that God laid upon his son the iniquity, all the loads of every man and woman from the time immemorial, from the very beginning to the very end, Christ was willing to carry. And I couldn't even carry my own. But I'm thankful that he would and that he did. Oh, praise God for salvation. Praise our God. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself, did he? Dear ones, forgiveness. We want to say, but it was their fault. But it starts here. Lord, forgive me. Help me. And help me to forgive others. Even if they don't ask for it. Lord, I'm a desperate man. I'm a desperate man and I'm willing to do desperate things. Let me humble myself before you and before my fellow man. This means too much. It means everything. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Do you see a divine nature here? Do you see an example that our Lord and Savior has set for you and I? Praise God. 700 years before it happened. And yet it happened just that way. Praise God for a Son of God. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in the 10th and 11th verses. It says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." The sorrow of God. Godly sorrow, dear ones, will bring us to a place that we'll be willing, knowing that we're desperate men and women. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. "For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort." The Corinthian church was in trouble, dear ones. Here's a congregation that needed healing. And they set about to find that healing. "For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort." That carefulness, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Dear ones, clearing of yourselves. It's good to be free, is it not? Oh, dear God, the blood of Jesus clears us, makes us free, and it heals us. Oh, yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Oh, Lord, help us to be clear. It takes a godly sorrow to come to Him for the forgiveness that we need. To come to others and ask for forgiveness. And to forgive others even if they don't ask. Dear one, do you need healing? Healing often starts at forgiveness. May the Lord help us. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. 1st to the 3rd verse, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envying, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Dear ones, what's the difference between a little child that's still on milk, an infant, and an adult? What's the difference? It's innocency. It's a clearing. There's no sin in a little child. Would you like to come back to that state? Dear ones, it starts at forgiveness, does it not? Yeah. Innocency, I'm clear of all those matters. God has forgiven me. My fellow man has forgiven me, and I've forgiven him. And now I'm clear. Yeah. I'm desiring that sincere milk of the word, that I might grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Dear ones, the Lord is gracious. There's victory in Jesus. Turn with me, please, to John. John, the 12th chapter. And the 40th verse. "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Dear ones, don't let the devil blind you. Healing oftentimes starts at forgiveness. Can we see it? Can we see the Word of God? I'm going to ask the question again. Do you need healing? Does your family need healing? Does your congregation need healing? Dear ones, it starts at forgiveness. First with you, and then let it spread. May the Lord help us. You pray for me. Amen.